You will hear from us.
Well, I had it on voice.
With your permission, Megillat Rut. Our minhag is to read Megillat Rut on Chag HaShavuot. Of course, the simple explanation is because David HaMelech comes from Rut, and Shmuel HaNavi, when he wrote the Megillah, so-called, he wanted to tell us, first of all, who David is coming from, and secondly, the halacha that was at that time revealed, that even though it says in the Torah, you may not intermarry with the nation Ammon and Moab, it's only the man, but you're allowed to marry a lady from that nation. And that halacha was not known until Shmuel HaNavi came and revealed it. And of course, some people, as David's father himself, Ishai, that one day he came to his wife and he said, I'm sorry to tell you, we live together by mistake, I'm not allowed to be with you, and I want to get away from you. And then David HaMelech was born, and they saw David HaMelech is not from the same mother, and they said he's not able to come and be among them Israel because his grandmother is Moabiah. And Shmuel HaNavi decided to write Megillat Rut, again, so-called to clear his name of David HaMelech. Nobody should have any doubts about him, that his great-grandmother was a very great lady, and that to the Gemara will say that this is something for us to know what the Torah meant, that we should not intermarry with the nation Moab. It means a girl from Am Israel should not marry a boy from Moab, but a boy from Eretz Israel is allowed to marry a girl from Moab because the girls are not in the same category what Hashem meant when he said don't intermarry with that nation. So again, this is a simple explanation. So this is the same explanation why Shmuel HaNavi wrote Megillat Rut. And again, Chachamim say there's no information. At least we know, according to the Gemara, Yerushalmi, that David HaMelech died in Chag HaShavuot. So maybe, or most probably, yes, David HaMelech was born in Chag HaShavuot. So this is our minhag to read Megillat Rut. This is just on the surface. And tonight, B'zot Hashem, we'll see what Ari says, what is the real reason why we have to read Megillat Rut on Chag HaShavuot. It's not coincidence also that maybe he was born on Chag HaShavuot. It's a big zechut to be born on Chag HaShavuot. Again, it can be, could be. Everybody has his time to come out in this world. But there's something very significant and important that David HaMelech was, if he was born on Chag HaShavuot. But chapter 1, Megillat Rut, with your permission, maybe Meshvot HaShavtim, is the time of the Shavtim, before kings appeared, it means before Shaul HaMelech arrived. Was a famine. This is famine number 6. The first famine was in time of Adam HaRishon, the second in time of Lemech, then Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is 5. And now that's famine number 6. Famine number 6, part of the reason for the famine, the Medrash says, because Am Yisrael did not obey and kept the mitzvot what Hashem wanted him to keep, and Hashem so-called wanted to push them to the corner to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's the only way that I'm going to bring them back to me without Chas V'Shalom send them to exile or punish them hard. I would just bring a famine, and it's the famine number 6. וילך איש מבית לחם יהודה לגור בשדה מואב ובשתו שני בניו. Come to Gemara and tell us, again, the Zohar says the first pasuk, so called Hashem was hiding him from Midat Hadin, from upstairs, that nothing should happen to him, but he left Israel. So the Gemara says, there's a lot of answers, a lot of reasons. One of the reasons the Gemara says, he was very rich, and too many Mishulachim came to his house, and he decided to leave the country and go to Moab. Again, Moab is in the area of Jordan, and he moved to Moab. He moved to Moab. One of the reasons is because he did not want the Mishulachim to come and beg him. He was tired of the Mishulachim. This is not a major sin, but since the Gemara says he was very rich as well, and he was able, so-called, to support people in the time of the famine, and he disappeared, so that maybe caused some people not to have any food. So again, it's not something very good, but nothing very, very bad, that Hashem should be very upset at him, that Hashem is going to kill him. This we see in sentence 3. Now the Megillah will reveal the name of Hashem, Ha'ish Elimelech. His name was Elimelech, Hashem Yishto Noami, Hashem Shnei Banah, Machon Mechon Nifratim. They come from Mishpachat Yehuda. The Gemara says Elimelech was entitled to become a king. He was a very important person. He was so-called the leader of Israel at the time. They opposed them, Moab and Yerusham. They went to Moab, to Jordan, and they stayed there. Says the Megillah, Vayamot Elimelech Ish Naomi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him. One of the reasons, again, is what we said before, what the Gemara says, because you just left, and you were able to help the needy, the poor, and you didn't, so it's not sufficient. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzadikim, has a different kind of Shulchan Aruch. If somebody does something that's not so bad, but if he's a very high person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the Tzadikim, says the Gemara, Kehut HaSara, like a hair. And if he does something, even though it's not so bad, but still, needs some explanation. But Ishaeri Yishnei Baner. So she was left with her children. I saw them, Nashim Moaviot, the Machloket among the Zohar and the Midrashim. The Gemara wrote, if they did convert them, how can they convert them? They come from Moab. You can even convert them if you want, because at this time, yet, the halacha is you're not allowed to intermarry with that nation. So, of course, you cannot convert them. Even if you convert them, you cannot marry them. They're allowed to marry only somebody from another nation that converted. And again, a big machloket, if I would say the word confusion, is not so far from it. They don't know what happened. But again, they married those two girls. Shema Achat Opa, her name is Opa, Shema Shinitru, Shulek Shem Kes Shanim, they stayed there, they dwelled like 10 years. Emutu Gam Shnei Machlon Bechelion. So they also died. Why they died? There's no information why they died. The Rambam in his commentary says that they died because they left Eretz Israel, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Israel. But again, it's not sufficient, there's no such punishment in the Torah that if you leave Eretz Israel and you move out of the country, you'll die. Even though that in time of famine you're allowed, but if you're an important person, maybe you shouldn't. But again, it's not enough reason. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his own thing, but again, to explain maybe later, what was the reason they died? Again, they did not die because they intermarried with that nation, because eventually you're allowed to intermarry with that nation. And again, according to some Chachamim, some Midrashim, they did convert them. I don't know how they converted them, they begin to convert. But again, this is like a riddle. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. So they died as well. Matakom Ivechalotea, Vatashov is the Moav. She decided to go back to Eretz Israel. Ki shama b'zdeh Moab, she heard. Ki fakad Hashem et amon atet lahem lachem. She heard. The machloket, how did she hear it? Maybe she heard from an angel. The Targum says an angel came told her. Must be a very holy lady. The angel came and told her that the famine is over. And then she decided she wants to go back to Eretz Israel. But it's even in Makum Ashayata Shama, Shlech Alotea Ima, she left the place with two daughters-in-law, but the Lachna Bader, Vaderich Lashiv Eretz Yudah, they're going back to Israel. But Tomer Naomi, Shlech Alotea, Lech Nashem and Nodashal Betima, he says, please go back to your mother's house, Yes, Hashem, imachem chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall be very kind to you, kasher asitem im amitim im ali, you were very kind to me. And the Gemara says, what kindness they had, so they said they did not demand the ketubah, and they paid the funeral expenses. So even though that Naomi really, I don't know why she had to do it, but that's what she said. You were very, very kind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back. Iten Hashem lachem, sentence 9, v'tzenam nuchai isha betishah. Please go back when maybe you find a new husband. V'tishah 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 v'tishah. She kissed him, she said, please go back. Please don't come along with me. I'm going back to Israel, you stay over here, you do whatever you wish, continue your life. It's enough what you did for me. The boss said, no, we're going back to Israel together with you, to your nation. Even though the Takonim, some Chachamim, they will have nothing in Eretz Israel because so far they're not Jewish, and who will talk to them over there? They still don't want to go. I said, for a purpose, for a reason. Please, my daughters, go back. Only when you think that I'm going to have more children, and you're going to marry my children. I'm not planning to get married anymore. It says even if you think that you know that I will get married, and even tonight I'll find somebody, and even if I will have children, I'll enter Sabena, you're going to wait for my children, I'll show you the rule, I'll enter again, you're going to sit down and wait. If you're the ish, I don't know why Shmuel Levi wrote the whole story. It's not really important, that discussion. It's a private discussion. So Naomi is trying to convince them to go back, and he said, listen, go back, because I'm not going to get married to somebody. Why does she think that they'll wait? It's not normal. I mean, the girl now is 40 years old, this Ruth. So let's assume Naomi is going to get married. Let's assume she'll have a boy. Let's hope she'll have a boy. I don't believe he'll get married before he'll be 10. In the Gemara time, he used to get married when they were 10 years old. So let's see, they'll be 10. At that time, she is going to be 50. That's very strange. A boy 10 years old is going to marry a lady 50 years old. It's strange. But that's what Naomi is going to convince them. And says, even I'm going to get married tonight, and even I'm going to have a child next year, and you're going to wait. You really serious about it? You really think they'll wait? They'll wait for you to get married, to find a husband, and Bezat Hashem you have a boy, and after the, you know, a year later, after you get married, you can have a boy, and those two girls will sit down and wait for this boy to grow up 10 years old, and they're going to marry him. I don't know, maybe he won't be alive anymore. And it's a private discussion, it doesn't even make sense, the discussion. Definitely not writing the Megillah. Who cares about it? I said, but the importance that the Megillah is going to bring is in the minute that the Opa goes back and Ruth wants to go with her. Fine, that's it. So you don't have to tell me that they have a kind of discussion and they want to go with her, and then that's the way she convinces them. She says, go back home, you'll find a Chatan, you'll find a husband, because he can't wait for me, because I'm not going to have any more children, I'm too old, and even if I won't be old, it's not important. But he said, now, Kolan Batifkena, to cry. Rafa gave her a kiss, she's going back, Ruth got glued to her. But Naomi is still convincing her. I says, please go back. Please go after your sister. Why you have to come with me? I says, don't even talk to me about it. Says, don't even talk to me. I'm going to convert. I'm going to be with you. Says, I'm not only that. I'm going to die with you. Doesn't matter. Only death will separate us. So she's swearing. I don't know what it means exactly. It's a nice statement, it's a very nice daughter-in-law. It's something that we say in America, unusual. But, it's nice. Oh, Hashem. I don't know why. So again, I don't know what the discussion has to do with the thing. You cannot meet the whole thing, you don't have to know this. It's a private discussion between them, and what's the importance about it? But she saw that she's trying very hard. She left her alone. Lachta shnein, shteim advana betlechem, betlachem. They come back to Betlechem. Hey, kubana betlechem, atem kolei alem advana azot mami. Everybody looked at her and says, we don't recognize her. Atome aleina tikana li nomi kenana mera, says, don't even call me nomi, my name is Mara. It means it's very bitter. Ke mara shodai limod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me and gave me such a time. And imelea alachti, When I left full, where I came, Hashem, Hashem, we lost everything. Velama tikana li nomi kim Hashem, and Hashem, 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 and they went and they cut the barley. So it's important for the next chapter maybe that the root is going to go into the field and that she's going to go collect and it's going to be a field of boaz as the story continues. But again, there's something else in it. As we all know, tomorrow night is Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer, there's no real information. What is the importance of that night, of that day, Lag BaOmer? There's no real information. One of the information that we have is, again, we were in Sfirat HaOmer, as I said, that there was an epidemic of the students of Rabbi Akiva, and that epidemic stopped on Lag BaOmer. Again, nobody can put his hand on the Torah to swear about it. I said, that's one opinion. But again, so the stop. Okay, fine. So the stop. Very nice. So therefore, you make a holiday for me. It's not a holiday. Okay, so almost the epidemic stopped. So 24,000 people died, and now it's over. So now, for the rest of the generations, we have to celebrate like Bahama because the epidemic stopped. There were a lot of epidemics in Israel and tragedies. When the things stop, we don't celebrate it. Then it goes the story with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, there's not enough information to know what really happened. Either he died on Lag BaOmer or he finished the Terazor on Lag BaOmer. Again, there's no information. Or the information that we have, it was in the time of the Ari, that somebody on Lag BaOmer said Tachanun, and then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came to Ari at night and told him, I don't understand this guy saying Tachanun on my day, my happy day. So because he said Tachanun, he's not going to live, and the following year this man was in Gan Eden. Again, what does it mean exactly? What this day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is so happy about, that he doesn't want us to say Tachanun. Big deal, so he said Tachanun. He didn't do anything against Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He just banged on his heart. He said, Hashem no bagadno. It's not a sin. A person wants, you know, he wants to confess. He confessed. It's not a sin. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was very upset. And he told Ari that this man is not going to leave. And Ari went and he sent a messenger to that person, and he said, you said Tachanun, he says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came to me and says, please say goodbye to your family, call your insurance company, because next day you won't be here. I says, what is it? It's a scene, it's something. I don't know what it is. About Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself, there's not too much information besides what the Gemara says, probably a little bit Yerushalmi. The Gemara says the story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the story that we know something about him, how great he was, that he went to the cave and he was in the cave for 12 months. So again, in that time, it's hard to judge and to feel what did happen. But the story that sent him so-called to the cave was that they were living in the city, it's called Yavne. Yavne was a city, we don't know exactly where it is, but this was a city that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at the time of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, went and he met with the Caesar. And before they destroyed Yerushalayim and they killed millions of people, he asked that Caesar to let out the Chachamim in order to Am Israel continue his heritage. And this Caesar was very impressed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And a convoy of the Chachamim left Yerushalayim and they went to Yavne. And they lived in Yavne. And years after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, the Romans came with all kinds of decisions and statements. They didn't let us learn Torah, even though they gave at the time permission, the Caesar may be changed. And then at one point in Yavne, they had a meeting of the Chachamim, and that meeting was a rabbi, his name was Rabbi Yehuda, was standing up, and he was saying, let's praise the Romans. Praise the Romans, see, they are going to fix everything in Eretz Israel, the building bridges, the building markets, the building mikveh, bathhouses, and we have to appreciate them. At the same time, was another Chacham, his name was Rabbi Yossi, was sitting at that meeting, and he didn't say nothing. And then came Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, let me tell you some what I think. I think the Romans, what they did it for their own sake. They made bridges because they want to take tolls. Don't think America invented tolls. It was in the time of the Romans. And whatever they did in the market, it was for their own reason, and the bathhouses is for their own reason. It's nothing to do what they want to do for us. Well, that person, a Jew, was sitting over there, and he went to the government, and he told the government about the meeting. He said, there was one rabbi, his name was Rabbi Yehuda, he praised you. But there's another rabbi, Rabbi Yossi, he sat down over there quietly, didn't say anything. And the third rabbi, his name is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he did not say bad things about you, but he just said whatever the first rabbi said that you're doing is not for Am Israel, it's for your pleasure. So it's not bad, you know, he didn't bless the government. He didn't curse the Caesar. I mean, in Russia, if you did something against Lenin, so then it sent you to Siberia. But not if you just, you know, you say, well, the government is, you know, it's not doing, they're not doing it for me. That's, even in Russia, they didn't do such bad things to you. But anyway, the government decided they want to reward the first person because so-called, he praised the government. And the second person, he did not say anything, so he said, oh, you didn't say nothing? Exile. I told this guy, Rabbi Yossi, says, you have to leave this city of Yavne. They moved him to Tzipori, next to Tverya. He says, you cannot go back to your family. You go back to your family, they'll kill you. He says, what did I do? He says, you were quiet. He says, so what if I was quiet? It's also a sin to be quiet. I didn't say anything. Exile. And they're going to execute Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They're looking for him. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. He says, why are you going to kill him? He says, oh, but one rabbi said, you know, that the bridges and the markets that you did is for your own sake. So what's the big deal? What do you think? The government makes a bridge, Washington Bridges, is for us, it's for them. You know, so big deal, so that's a sin. For this, you have to kill somebody. Anyway, maybe it's time of Gezerot, maybe that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. They're looking for him. He takes his son. He said, I need a chavruta. I said, let's run to the Bet Knesset, the hiding under the table in the Bet Knesset, the learning. The learning is no information how long they're learning. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai tells his son, listen, I want to tell you something. Our mother, my wife and your mother brings us food every day, and we cannot trust her. Can't trust her. The Romans might come to the house and give her a hard time, and then she's going to reveal where we are. So we can't stay here. So therefore, you and me, let's run and hide in the cave. Listen, you don't have to tell it to your son. It's not right. It's Lashon Hara. And it's not right. You don't talk about your wife like this, even though that's not a bad. But again, the Gemara, he described his wife. He says, Nashim da'atan kalot. He said, the ladies, you know, they're not so strong. They, you know, they're wishy-washy. You don't talk like this. And even if you said it, you have to write in the Gemara. That's embarrassing. That's your wife, that's your son's mother. You don't tell him your mother doesn't have, you know, what we call it, a back spine. And she's a wishy-washy lady, and she might tell the Romans, leave it alone, just tell his son, listen, it's not safe, let's run away. You don't have to tell him, your mother, my wife, is not stable, you know, and she's not in stable condition, you know, she can't trust her. You don't have to say that, it's embarrassing. Anyway, they run to the cave, and they spend in the cave 12 years. 12 years, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had to take off his clothing and bury himself in the sand. For 12 years he was afraid that if he will sit with his clothing inside the cave, his clothing eventually will deteriorate. Yeah. So he and his son got undressed up to the neck. They buried themselves inside the sand. Only the time they wanted to pray, They went outside. Okay, there's no matzah, there's no Pesach, no shofar, no sukkot, no lulav, no chanukah, no purim, nothing. Zero. Sitting down over there in the cave, he and his son, in time descend, no Shabbat, nothing. No kiddush, no abdallah, nothing. Since they have baksa tree, and they have some water from the spring, 12 years. Very, very strange, such a punishment, very strange. So again, we don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, but start with some explanation. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them, you know, a baksa tree and a spring, that they don't have to go outside, because if they would go outside, the Romans would find them. So Hashem should have also made them some kind of miracle, bring them some, you know, a Pierre Cardin suit or something, Gucci, you know, something, delivery, FedEx to, you know, Eliyahu Navi can bring anything from any place. Eventually, Eliyahu Navi after 12 months came and Rabbi Shmuel Yochai, his son, the Caesar is dead, you can come outside. They came outside, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Yochai comes outside and he sees people plowing and seeding Jewish people. He says, I don't believe it. Why are they wasting their time? They go to work. They should have been dead, and the person fell down dead. Rabbi Shmuel Yochai hears the batkot from Hashemayim. Hashem tells him, listen, mister, go back to the cave. I see you don't know what you're doing. Go back. They went back to the cave, he and his son, for 12 more months. After 12 more months, they come outside. They come outside, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it was Friday, that he sees that a person runs on the street, that he has two hadasim in his hand. They ask him, why you have two hadasim? He says, man zachor on shamor, I want to smell it on Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon says, ooh, look at the man. Then Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai himself goes, and he said he wants to do certain things in the city of Tveria. He wants to clear that after the war, after the Romans killed millions of people, he says the dead people, the Kohanim cannot walk by. He wants to clear it. He wants to find a path for the Kohanim. That's the story in the Gemara. That's about Rabbi Shimon. It's very, very strange story. Very strange story. That, again, this is the whole information that you have about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Then the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, page 11, side 2. If you have a Gemara at home, you can look it up. The Gemara tells a story of what did happen in Rome about 1500 years ago, much after Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He used to have a parade once in 70 years, a parade in Rome. What was the parade about? He used to take a crippled person and bring him to the parade. And then he used to bring a very handsome person, put him on the shoulders of the crippled person. They dressed up the handsome person with the clothing of Adam HaRishon. Whether if you go to the Vatican and you ask the cardinal to take you down basement number 7, down there you have the clothing of Adam HaRishon. So 1500 years ago, they used to dress up the person with this clothing. Put on this man, again it's a Gemara, Masechet Avodah Zarah, page 11. And then they used to put a mask on him. What was the mask? In the Romans, Yimach Shemam, when they killed the 10 giants, one of them was Rabbi Ishmael Kohen Gadol. So before they killed him, the daughter of the Caesar was standing by, and she saw how handsome he was, the Kohen Gadol. So she begged the executor, before you kill that person, why don't you skin off his face? I want to keep the face of this. I never saw such a handsome person in my life. It's unbelievable. It's a shame to kill him. Before you kill him, cut his skin off, then they process it, and they kept it. Again, this is downstairs in the museum in the Vatican. They used to take every 70 years, this person that's riding on the crippled person, they used to dress him up with the clothing of Adam HaRishon, and the mask, they used to put a mask on him. Also, that mask was the skin of the face of the Kohen Gadol Rabbi Ishmael. They're walking by, there's a guy running in front of this parade, and he says, look what's going on in the back. He says, who is coming? He says, you see this crippled man, this is Yaakov Avinu. This is Jacob. And the one rides on top of him, that's our grandfather Esav, because Rome, the Romans come from Esav, and say, look who is winning, we destroyed Israel. And this man, Jacob, one time, got dressed up to his father, Isaac, Yitzchak, and he said that he is Esav, and he got the blessing. He cheated him. He says, no, what do you see? Did any of those blessings came true? Nothing. You see, the whole thing is in vain. And that's this Everybody please look around. They used to put some expensive jewels on the person as well on the streets. That parade took place once in 70 years. Once in 70 years, and they announced, whoever saw it, fine. Next time you'll see this parade is in 70 years from now. But the announcement was that, you know, when Mashiach will come, they say, then this cripple, this Jacob will be on the top, and we don't want to know what's going to happen to the one that rides on the top. We don't know what's going to happen to him. This is, again, this is the parade. Very, very strange. I don't know what the Gemara writes it about it. Who needs to know it? Hari says like this, Rabotai. The Midrash says like this. Somebody's going to ask you, where we got the Torah on Chol Sivan is the third month. The third month, the Torah says, after we came out of Egypt, on the third month we got the Torah. Again, this is 50 days after we left Egypt. Because why Hashem gave it to us right on the third month? Why the Torah emphasize it? Of course, it's not a question. The Torah wants you to know when we got the Torah. Anyway, the Midrash says, I want to tell you something. There's a secret over here. The horoscope of the month of Sivan, the horoscope is twins. The first time we meet twins in the Torah is Yaakov and Esav. Hashem on purpose, says the Midrash, gave us the Torah on Chodesh Sivan, that the horoscope, the Mazal of Chodesh Sivan is twins, is to tell us something. Just to tell you that Hashem expected very much, wanted very much, Esav to come back, so-called to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Torah says in Parashat Ot HaBracha, Hashem Yisinai Ba V'Zarach Mis'ir Lama Ofiyah Me'ar Paran. It says before HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to Am Yisrael, he did offer the Torah to the children of Esav, to the angel that represents Esav, he offered the Torah to him. It says, why? It says the Midrash, that's the reason Hashem gave us the Torah on Chodesh Sivan. It says, because the horoscope of Chodesh Sivan is twins. It says, who is the twin? It's Esav. Hashem really wanted very much Esav to come back, so-called to Teshuvah, to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, he offered the Torah to that nation. He says, hopefully they'll take it, and of course they denied it, and the angel that represents that nation said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, give it to the Jews, we don't want it, but this will... This is the main reason the Midrash says why we got the Torah on the month of Sivan, because of that horoscope. Says the Ari the following. Leon Navi told one of the Chachamim that when Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish entities that did not pray or try to convince people to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the Goyim. Even though there are punishments for the Goyim, it says only if they will not regret and come back. It says if a Goy does something bad as a Jew, but if he regrets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so-called, will not punish him the way the Torah says the punishment should be done to the person. Of course, in our system, it's not like that, but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is. That's as the Gemara says, somebody, for example, kills somebody on purpose. If he does Teshuvah Shelema, let's assume that Bedin did not know, there were no witnesses or any reason. If he does Teshuvah Shelema, Hashem forgives him. He has Olam Haba. Definitely, if Bedin will kill him, that's for another reason, maybe not as much as a punishment as a warning, or he should be a role model for Israel. Of course, there's a kapara. So it doesn't matter what sin that you commit, and that applies to a goy as well. It says a goy, even though that he doesn't behave, but if he does teshuvah shlema, Hashem brings him back. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Esav to come back, all the goyim, he wants them back. And that's what Ari says, that's Navi Yishayahu, Navi Micha, they're all saying, when Mashiach will come, they'll all come to Bet HaMikdash, they would like to convert. That's what Navi says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take them, as long as they regret. If they don't regret, this is the punishment for everyone. If he does a sin, he committed a sin, and he doesn't regret. The Romans, of course, killed millions of people. Millions of people. Nevertheless, the Romans carry a lot of very good souls from our great-grandfather Adam HaRishon. And in a way, that meeting that took place in Yavne was just to tell you that this is Chacham Rabbi Yehuda said, listen, I want to tell you something. When I see the Romans building bridges in Israel after they killed millions, they don't have to do it. They don't care less. This is the reason that maybe they regret. And the Gemara tells us that the main executor at the time of first Beit HaMikdash, Nebuzaradan, after he killed so many people, he did Teshuvah Shlema, he ran away. He ran away and he became a Jew. It says a lot of people came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from very bad people. For example, Rabbi Meir Balanes, one of the biggest Chachamim, he was a grandson of Neron Caesar, Neron Caesar. He was a very bad person in Rome. Neron himself converted. And Rabbi Balanes, one of the biggest Chachamim, he is a great-grandson of Esau. He's a Roman. Ovadia Navi is a Roman. It says they carry a lot of sparks. Very holy sparks. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them very much to come back. And at the first meeting, one of the meetings in Yavne, after the Romans destroyed Israel completely and killed everybody, it says those people having a meeting, and this Chacham Zabida said, listen, I think the Romans, what they do is because they really want to repair what they did. They feel bad about it. And that's what Hashem loves so much, because that's what's called Ayin Tovah in Perkei Avot. It says you have to give a person a benefit, maybe he wants to do some good things. It's not just benefit of the doubt, what we say in America, it's you have to look at a person, if he does something, maybe he regretted it. So Gemara says if you see somebody did a sin during the day, it says you have to hope and believe that at night he regretted it, Teshuvah Shlema. That's not your business anymore. I said, as long as you think the man did Teshuvah, you're not obligated to do anything. But you have to hope that he does. You have to hope that he did Teshuvah Shalom. And that's what the Gemara says, that those are the people that come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them the most. This is what's called Baal Teshuvah. He says, I did something, but I come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem loves him most. And that's what the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda said. He said, that's what the Mishnah in Perkei Avot says. So Rabbi Elazar HaGadol says the best thing in your lifetime is that you should open your eye and you look with your eye without criticism on people and you judge them for the best, because you hope that the person does good things and he comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Chacham Rabbi Yossi was sitting by and he doesn't say anything. And the Romans upset at him and says, how come he didn't say that? Because we really want to come back. And by the way, by the time of the Romans, two things happened. One time, the Caesar of Rome came and he called up Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, who was the leader of Am Israel, and he told him, you know what, I'll let you rebuild the third Beit HaMikdash. That Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah was the time I came back to Eretz Israel, and he told Am Israel, ready? You're building Beit HaMikdash. The Arabs at the time that lived in Eretz Israel right away went to Rome and told the Caesar, don't let them, the same thing they did in time of Mordechai and Haman. And the Caesar called up Rabbi Hananiah and said, okay, listen, I want to tell you something, there's a change. I do let you build Beit HaMikdash, but you have to build it in Eilat, not in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Hananiah said, no, we have to build in Yerushalayim. He said, no, I'm sorry, I changed my mind about the location. Beit HaMikdash, yes. Kohen Gadol, yes. Olam Israel back to Beit HaMikdash, perfect. Korban Pesach, everything you can do, but not on that location. And then Rabbi Shimon Hananiah explained to him, listen, Hashem doesn't let us build any other place. But again, the Caesar himself in Rome so-called changed his attitude for Am Israel. Same thing happened later, again in the time of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the Caesar's name was Antoninus. He converted, is a great-grandson of Esav, a Roman, converted, and went every day to study Torah with Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the one that wrote the Mishnah. So we see that even in the Roman kingdom, you had some Caesars that really regretted so-called and tried to help Am Israel. So therefore, the Gemara says, this guy Rabbi Yossi, when he... So Rabbi Yossi says to Gemara, he was quiet in the meeting and the Romans sent him to exile. He says, how come you were quiet? Why don't you give us the benefit that we want to do good to your people? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says the Gemara had to run away. He says, why you had to run away? It says you didn't give to the Romans something. What I didn't give? So he says Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai was a spark of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, if you remember, when he left Lavan's house, he put Dinah in a box. And the Gemara says, because he put Dinah in a box, Dinah was kidnapped by Shem and Hamor. It says because Yaakov did not want to give a chance to his brother. It says Dinah might have convinced Esav to do Teshuvah Shlema. It says, you, Abshurim Bar Yochai, you have the spark of Yaakov Avinu, and look what you do. It says in the meeting that this rabbi said that the Romans, maybe they regret, and maybe they want to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, you have to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it so much, and he expected it, and he would want it very much. That's why he gave us the Torah on the third month, because he would hope that nation would take the Torah. It says, Abshurim Bar Yochai said, no, they don't do it. It's a so-called, that's called a bad eye. So-called, it's not something that you should do. You should think, you should give the guy the benefit. Maybe he regrets something. Again, something did happen in history. Therefore, he had to go to the cave. Because if you remember, Yaakov Avinu's mother was Rivka. And she convinced Yaakov Avinu to get dressed up and to tell his father his name is Esav, to get the blessings. If you remember, the Zohar said it was a big mistake that Yaakov tricked his father, and of course Yaakov got dressed up, and that's the parade. The parade is in Rome every 70 years, they dress up the person, they put a mask on him, and he dresses the clothing of Adam HaRishon, because, again, if you remember, Yaakov was wearing those clothing when he so-called stole the bracha from Yitzchak. Says the person that told Yaakov to do it is Rivka. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai tells his son, listen, my wife, says, you know what happened, you know, when I was Yaakov Avinu, my mother convinced me to do something that was not maybe 100%. So they had to run to the cave, and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai had to be undressed for 12 years, because so-called he took the clothing of Esav without permission, and because he so-called lied, if we may say nice words, to Yitzchak, says the Zohar, in every war against Am Israel since then, always, said the Zohar, you have some descendants of Esav that join the enemy against us because Yaakov cheated his father when Yaakov took the blessing. And says, you are wearing the wrong clothing, and says, your punishment is to be in the cave for 12 years without clothing inside the sand to repair what you did to your father. This is what is really the secret of it. The secret of it is that you took away from your brother the blessing. It says if you have a good eye, you don't do it. You don't do it. It says if you have a good eye, you don't put your daughter in the box. And he said, I don't want my brother to see my daughter. It says this is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai so-called had the same attitude. At the end of his life, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came with a statement, says the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, it says, me and my son and myself, we have a power to undo all the gezerot, the bad decisions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we suffered so much in the cave. It says, at the end, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai understood that the time that he spent in the cave was just so-called to change his attitude to be so-called positive and not negative. When he came out after 12 years and he still was negative about something, and he was sending back to the cave. So again, the whole purpose of this Lag BaOmer is just to do for Am Yisrael more things that even though that you don't think they deserve, even though that you think that they don't behave well, you still have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well the whole world should come back to HaKadosh. By the way, Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch in Ilchot Rosh Chodesh, always Lag BaOmer falls on the same day of the week that Purim fell. If you remember this, the Purim was on Friday, and Lag BaOmer is on Friday as well. Again, this is not a coincidence. Chachamim say that it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a must. It's a must according to the calendar. You know, it doesn't matter how you fix the calendar, how you're going to make it, Rosh Chodesh here, Rosh Chodesh there, that must be the same day of the week, Lag BaOmer and Purim. So the Ari says it's the same thing, the same idea, because Purim, of course, is because of Mordechai. And the last sentence of the Megillah is Mordechai Doresh Tov Le'amo, the whole time Mordechai, the good eye, that he wants to help the brothers, to help the nation. It says you have to have a special attitude to save everybody. And by the way, Megillat Rut is the same, the Midrash says it's the same story over here. It says this guy Elimelech, that was so-called the leader of Am Israel, he said he had a tremendous power. At that time, the Am Israel used to worship a lot of idols. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the famine. It seemed that not that he's running away from Israel. For this, you don't deserve a punishment. But if you don't try to bring them back, and you had the power, the Gemara says he had a tremendous power because he was very wealthy and he was very smart, people listened to him. He and his two children were very powerful leaders. It says he had the opportunity to bring back Am Israel. It says now it's a famine. I said, it's very simple. You know, it's a famine, you have no food, so you come to Elimelech. He says, Mr. Elimelech, can I have $5? It's half a gallon of gas. Can I have $5? And Elimelech says, okay, I'll give you $5, but I see you have in your pocket an idol. How about getting rid of idol? I said, last time I saw you, you went and you bowed down to an idol on the street. Says the Gemara, Elimelech had a tremendous power to bring back the people. It says, when you don't bring back people, it means you don't worry about the people. You don't worry about the people. It says, that's the same punishment that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai got. And that's almost something that Noach got. It says, Noach, the Gemara says, also had this attitude. It says, he doesn't care about this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last moment, says the Gemara, saved Mr. Noach. Even though that he was not a sinner, but since you did not care about other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to be around. It says that is the whole secret that the Megillah will tell you. Elimelech is going to die. His children are going to die. They're not dying because they married those girls. It's not sure exactly the entities of the girls. But one thing for sure, if you had the power to bring back people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah on Chodesh Sivan, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu want even Esav to come back, it says, who gave you permission to run away with your fortune? You should have used your influence and your fortune to convince people to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the contrary, says Ari, the Megillah will tell you that Naomi, his wife, that went, according to Chachamim, against her will outside of Eretz Israel, just because her husband and his children left, she went away as well. It says, you're going to see from her and the two daughters-in-law in the beginning, how much they care for somebody else. This is not like Elimelech, they did not care so much, they care very much. This is they care very much that Naomi thinks that they're going along with her because they want to comfort her. What's the biggest comfort? This is if Naomi will have a child and they're going to be around, they should marry the child. This is I'm 50 years old and your son will be 10, I want to marry him. I want to marry a baby. It says just to stay with you. And that Ruth is going to tell her, listen, I'm going with you, wherever you're going to go, even you die, I'm going to be next to you. This is just to tell us the opposite of Elimelech, and this is the reason why on Chag HaShavuot says Dari, we read Megillat Ruth. It's not because David HaMelech was born. Of course it is, maybe yes, maybe not, it's not 100% information. But the information is that on Chag HaShavuot we got the Torah again, because the Midrash says the purpose that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah is to bring back. And here, you see, Ruth got back to us. It says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ruth, I mean, he gave Shmuel Navi this so-called prophecy to write Megillat Ruth, to tell you the private discussions that had Ruth with Naomi, to tell you how much she wants to be with the mother-in-law, and how much the mother-in-law wants to be with the daughter-in-law. As the Gemara says, usually it's not like this. Usually there is a conflict between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Usually, not all the time, but it was usually there is. And she says, over here, you see just the opposite. She's just the opposite because it means, it's called Ayin Torah, it means a very good eye, that this is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. The celebration, that's the celebration of Chag HaShavuot, that we got the Torah. It says, yes, we got the Torah, but you have to understand also the Torah was offered first to Esav. Esav, the murderer, the Gemara says, Kafar b'tchilat amitim, he says, did all kind of bad things. Hashem still wants him back. So the Breishan of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Lag BaOmer, is the same thing. That means that Lag BaOmer, either this is the day he died, or the day he wrote the Zohar, excuse me, this is just to tell us that this is what he was accomplished at the end of his life, that he accomplished that you have to worry about others more than just to let them go. It says this is so-called the purpose of creation, says the Zohar, says Dari. It says this special holiday is something that, like Purim, it says, like Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this holiday because of Mordechai, that he was worried about us. It says, like Ba'omer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is worried about us. Again, he changes attitude. This is the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they died because they didn't care for each other. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai cared for, even for the sinners. This is something that to repair so-called what Yaakov Avinu missed when he got dressed to be like Esav, when he put it in a box. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai repaired. This is the ultimate goal before Mashiach, says Dari, is to ask for everyone to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even as the biggest sinner like Esav.
Yeah.